so corny.
Yo, 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 yo. We back like we never left. Welcome to Corny Dads. We some corny dads that do dope things for our dope kids.
Yeah!
I'm CJ Snuggie Harris, a.k.a. Brother to the Night.
Brother to the Night.
I'll be my partner.
Oh man, don't do me like that. You got extra words. You got extra words. I don't like that. I be Yogi Dan Namaste.
And catch me on TikTok at Corny Dad OJC.
OJC.
All right, fellas, we here for our segment again. Right, this is the month of March, and what we're doing is we're giving women their flowers because it's Women's History Month. Shouts out to all the beautiful women. The happy women that are out here, and the motivational and the trailblazing women that are out here making things happen. And speaking of a motivating, trailblazing woman, I have my friend here in the building, Precious Osage Orese.
Let's go.
Shout out to my Nigerian people.
Yeah.
We have Precious here in the building, and Precious is a trailblazer.
Oh. Is that a pun?
We're gonna get to that. They don't understand it yet. We're gonna get to that, right? So yeah, so Precious is a trailblazer, especially here in the state of New Jersey. And actually I'm minimizing you. Like in this nation right now. Precious is a co-founder of Roll Up Life. And if you know what rolling up is, then you're clear, right? Precious is in the cannabis space, but I'm not going to steal her thunder and let you guys know what she got going on. I'm going to allow Precious, please, educate the people, let the people know who you are, what you're doing, and what's your mission, right? For not only pot smokers, but for us, right, as black people, right, as our community. Please.
For sure. First of all, thank y'all for having me.
Of course,
Snug, Yogi Oz.
Yeah.
This is cool. Like, I'm digging the whole set. I get invited to speak a lot or whatever, but I like this, okay? And I appreciate the kind words, too, about everything I'm doing. But what's good, everyone? My name is Precious Osage Orese. And I am the COO and co-founder of Roll Up Life, Inc. We are a cannabis tech delivery and retail company based out of East Orange, New Jersey. We've been building this company for multiple reasons. You know, when we looked around and we thought about cannabis, weed, marijuana, however you want to call it, you know, black people, we have our own relative experience with it, which is always negatively connotated. You think about the war on drugs. You think about mass incarceration, especially the impact it had on black men, black families. But in the same coin, there was an industry being built on the backs of that, in which the black community kind of was ostracized from. So while thousands of black and brown men were in jail, there was billions of dollars being made on the same commodity. And that was just wild. That just blew my muffin cap back blue. Like I just didn't understand. And so me and my co-founder, you know, when he brought the idea of the company to us, for us, it was more than just the idea of, oh, we're going to get in here and we're just going to sell weed. You know, there's the idea of generational wealth there. Mm-hmm. There's the idea of restorative justice. There's the idea of community impact, economic empowerment. And we realized it wasn't going to be easy. You know, there was still stigma around cannabis, especially for our older black community, because rightfully so, they watched their families get destroyed. So when you tell them, I'm about to open a weed business, it seemed like, you know what? So there's a massive amount of re-education that has to happen in terms of cannabis as it relates to wellness, cannabis as it relates to business, as it relates to opportunity. And as it relates to being in a new industry, like, you know, I look around and if the internet was being made and I was around, I would have been like, where can I, can I add a couple dollars in, you know, with the information. And same thing, we at the beginning of a new industry, which most people will never experience in their life. We asked the same question, like, where can we add a couple dollars in and do a lot more? So That's how I got into the cannabis space. Completely transitioned my whole career, my whole, what I was doing, my degrees, all that stuff. I'm Nigerian, so imagine breaking down to like African parents. I'm sitting here about to drop these HBCU Ivy League degrees and just essentially trap.
That's what we do. We trap.
Yeah, exactly. But there was, again, there was a higher calling to it, and I can't wait to talk about it and a little bit more how more people need to kind of get hip and get involved, for real, for real.
Whew. Can Yogi Den start? Because that was fire.
let's get it, Yogi Den.
So, medicinal use.
Yes.
Right? So when we talk about, I know you graduated from Howard.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Howard.
HU.
Man. HU.
HU.
Now you spoke about dropping the degrees, and you spoke about talking to your parents, right, and saying, yo, this is what I'm about to do. But isn't this an ancient medicine?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about how we cultivate it and what this means, this medicine means, plant medicine means to us as a people, us to a culture, and how we need to be re-educated, and what's the education around marijuana, weed, or, you know, this plant?
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things that's not talked about is the medicinal side of weed and cannabis. Like, this stems thousands of years ago, mm-hmm. to African culture, to Latino culture, to even Asian culture. Like, when there was nothing on this earth but herbs and plants, marijuana was one of the herbs and plants that was frequently used as a healing mechanism, mm-hmm. All that time ago. And that piece of history and that piece of knowledge is still known. A lot of that, those wellness tips have been transitioned into what we now know as a medical marijuana industry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, currently medical marijuana is legal in about 30 plus states now. And it's being used to treat all kinds of things, you know, anxiety, cancer, food ailments, just mm-hmm. so many things that people are now starting to go back to herbal plant medicine.
Going back to
because we understand, you know, the system with opiates. We understand mm-hmm. what's going on with big pharma. Mm-hmm. So some people are retreating back to saying, you know, I want the basics. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the clean cut medicine. And what we're starting to see is that education come back in. Mm-hmm. People are starting to ask questions about, well, what are these? Because there's more than one ways to consume. You know, cannabis mm-hmm. is so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
There's different strains. Like, you know, of course, rap culture, pop culture is just high smoke, high mm-hmm. THC. But when you really become like an expert user, you put a little tincture in your teas. Mm-hmm. You got little infused sugar packets for like coffee or something. You mm-hmm. got like micro dosing. So throughout the day, you're in the state of, you know, you're in a mellow state, but you're also super productive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think now we're starting to really bring that conversation back forward. And it's being led by some dope doctors. It's being led by some dope wellness folks, you know, mm-hmm. that didn't have the degrees but are in that conversation, because this is, they're pulling on them now
mm-hmm.
to drop that knowledge. So I think we're going to start to see more people get into that. And then, you know, shrooms and stuff is another, that conversation. Psychedelics is the next thing.
That's my lane.
Coming up.
That's a different type of
story. That's a different type of, you know, they about to legalize that stuff out in Washington, Colorado. And those are usually the first steps we see
mm-hmm.
That destigmatizes a lot of these natural remedies that were used, like you said, ancient times. Like,
we cultivated this stuff. We
and it's just so weird. So how you go from ancient times use to just the prison pipeline industrial? Mm-hmm. That's the part that just,
that's also
is
business.
So jarring. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's also business. So I have a question. What did you do prior to transitioning into this space?
Yeah, so I was in journalism. So when I went to Howard, I studied communications in journalism, broadcast journalism. And I was in a news circuit. I was in politics. So right after I went to Howard, I went to Columbia for their journalism school program.
Mm.
And I worked in numerous of newsrooms. I worked at CNN. I worked at NBC. I even worked at Fox for like a quick stint, just because I mm-hmm. needed to see. I'm mm-hmm. like, what? I'm like, are y'all really just not going to tell the truth? Like, what's, I needed to go and see. Mm-hmm. Then I came back home and I started producing. I was a producer for News 12. So morning shows, I worked on that. And then I left the news circuit after a while And I went into local government, went to work back in my hometown city of East Orange with Mayor Green, still doing like digital communications. And actually, I was in a transitional time before I got into cannabis. So I was kind of open. Like I had a North, I wanted to be this executive producer, sort of like being Mary Jane situation, you know. I wanted to create a new show that really spoke to our community, you know, but on a mainstream platform like we usually see with MSNBC and things of that nature. I wanted to produce for that. And that's what I was doing in that in-between time when I was in school. And it was in that in-between time that my co-founder, and shout out to him, Tyon Bryan, I knew him my whole life. And he'd been moving marijuana for a long time. Like, and when I used to talk to him about it, I was like, yo, you need to go back to playing football. You need to do this. But he was so hell-bent. He was like, nah, there's a transition coming. He asked me three times to help him build this company before I actually said yes.
He's a visionary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite so. And while I was I was very nervous because I'm about to leave a full-time job, healthcare benefits, 401k, to delve into entrepreneurship in an industry that's so elusive, an industry that has high barriers. But, you know, high risk, high reward, so we ball.
Let's get it.
Where does that attitude come from, though? Like, okay, I know it's a lot of volatility, but I'm so confident in myself and my being that I'm gonna go out there and do that.
Actually, it's been from the women in my life. Like, you know, the mentors I've had in my life. Like, I was really cultivated, I think, as a child in my hometown. I had some really strong women sort of, like, touch me and always guide me in the right positions and things of that nature, from my teachers. I played ball, so my coaches was always there. And really, my mother. My mother is a serial entrepreneur. And I've seen her succeed and I've seen her fail drastically on both ends on the spectrum. High success and high failure. To the point where it actually turned me off of entrepreneurship. Like I was like, I'm going to be a corporate baddie because this thing is too volatile. But, you know, I just had some really powerful and dynamic mentors and women who I had, you know, figures for to be like, okay, well, they're doing it, you know, in their own scape, in their own, you know, space. I wanted to adapt that into my life. I wanted to be fearless, like I saw many of them. And what we really equate Black women to be most times is fearless. So I really had to tap into that. And that's where I sort of started to build that, you know what, let's go, let's do this. You know, I've always been ambitious by nature. But yeah, definitely having that representation in my life, I think made a huge difference for me to want to, like, you know, go hard.
Beautiful. That fear, can we talk about that fear real quick? When we equate Black women to being fearless, is that true? Always that we're fearless, or do we have some fear, and is that okay to have that fear, but to transmute that?
I think we just don't have the luxury of it to cultivate, to have that fear harbored. Black men and Black women. Like, in the world and society we're in, we just can't not move. You know, fear will always be the thief of joy as well. So, and specifically for Black women, you know, y'all are dads. I'm not a mom yet, but I know what Black moms and business women do. It's a lot. And I know they're not leading by fear. They're leading by, I got to get this done. So, you know, it's definitely a larger conversation to tap into, but we don't have the luxury of being timid in this life right now. We really don't.
So I do have a question. So how does it feel, right? Because when you think about cannabis, you think about weed. You think about men, right? So you are a woman who carved out a space and you're dominating in that lane. How do you feel, right, as one of, you're a minority in the space. So how do you feel in navigating in the space, right? What is the respect like? Like, let's talk about your plight, right? And what does that mean?
I mean, I wish I could have just took y'all with me while I was, like, navigating and learning about the industry, right? So when me and my founder, we first got put on, we were the only Black people in a bunch of rooms. And I know people say that often, but I want to emphasize, like, I felt like I was the sacrifice. I felt like we here to be this is Get Out. I've never felt like that before. And I'm watching as, like, it seemed like they had all this information and it was just being exchanged freely, like just putting each other on, invest here, get this, get that, get that, get that. And, you know, there was a bit of being tokenized in that, and I understood what I kind of understood that, but I always used it to my advantage. Yeah. Right, if you're going to have me here as, you know, a little black girl who can speak well, I'm going to take advantage of what I'm listening to. But then I'm going to take it and I'm going to run and tell the hood. So while doing that, I started to understand there's a bigger, like, everyone equates cannabis when you think about the industry to money. It's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. But there is a bigger sort of pressure when you understand just the overall landscape and who's really running things right now. And how we're not even remotely at the forefront of that.
At all.
There's less than 2% of black people own licenses in the country. So 98% of this industry is ran by white men, not even white women.
And are you ready? What I'm starting to realize too, right? It's not only white men. Now you have a huge Asian population, right? Because they're coming financially sovereign, right? So now you have a huge Asian population coming into the space. But this is about you. This ain't about my information. Go ahead.
Right. So it just, I started to feel like, or me and my founder, we started to feel like we couldn't build this company quietly like most people. You know, you harbor, you don't want to tell people what you're doing or whatever. We felt like we always had to...
Got to be loud.
We had to be extremely loud about it because we wanted to be disruptive at that. And we wanted no longer to see, to, for us to be the only people of color in those rooms. Because then it'll keep us siloed. It'll keep us really away from... spreading this information and really taking some economic empowerment back to our communities. And that's where, you know, real change can really stem from. So imagine that being very limited right now. So yeah, it just became more than just I'm building a business. And
this is, you're doing it for the culture.
Like, and even if, you know, those are platitudes, everyone can say they doing it for the hood, they doing it, like, I don't, you really start to feel it when you go through so many of the no's we went through, but kept going. For real, for real. Like, that is, I think, what separates, you know, oh, we're doing it for this reason or that reason. Like, it'll be in a track record because we look back and we be like, how are we even still thriving here? You know, so that's like the larger picture that we have when we're making our moves and doing things, because we understand what that representation will look like. And we see the change incrementally. You know, more people are starting to step out and be like, well, I want to learn more. Well, here you go. I always say you can lead people to water. You can't force them to drink. So as long as I did that, I feel like that's my due diligence in having people understand what we're doing and the opportunity.
Knowing that you're doing your part, what is it that, because I'm not in the space at all, right? What is it, or what is it that we can do, right, as civilians in a space to support you guys or to support us in general? Like, what's small incremental steps? Like, what's three things you think we can do to start to really get into the space and educate ourselves?
The first thing is the research. Like, when I found out about what was going on, prior to me even saying yes to come on board with my founder, I spent like a year researching, and I was blown away. Like, I was truly, I didn't even understand that New Jersey had to set up medical marijuana industry from Chris Christie days. And the people who were actually operating in there and cultivating since like 2012. You know, I didn't understand that there are all of these rules around what really happened in the street already, from distribution to B2C, to cultivation, to grow, to wholesale. It's just now in a formalized business where we pay OD taxes. So that education stint, I feel like that's the first step for anybody even interested in, let's say, trying to build a business or just want to know what's going on, because you're just going to go down a rabbit hole. And then you're going to be like, well, goddamn, like, can I curse on here? I'll be like, you're going to be like, well, gosh golly. Tom, Dick, and Brady didn't say nothing to this to me at work.
All that gossip, they failed to mention this part.
They failed to mention this. I hear this in no state of the city address during Christy Days, say all of this was going on. So that's step one, is the research. Step two is then to ask questions from that research. You know, start to figure out, well, what more do you want to know? Now that you have this piece of information, what more do you want to know? And then reach out. You know, find, like, you find someone like me. Hey, how did you do it? What's going on? Granted, not everyone talk. You know, some people, they move, but that don't stop you. You just reach out. You want to learn. And then, most of all, just support at the end of the day. And I don't mean support in terms of my, the support I've been getting for our business has been pure love. Like, people touching us from miles away, like, keep going, you know? And that support transcends because they understand if we make it, it's going to trickle down.
Yep,
absolutely.
So, yeah, research, ask questions, then support. And you'll open your mind to, like, what can and cannot be. And then, you know, it's just a newfound understanding. You could go from there. And I feel like that's what we did when we were getting up.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That is. So it is Women's History Month, right? And we are celebrating women.
Yeah.
You actually answered one of the major questions, right? Was who would you consider your shero, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned your mother, you mentioned your coaches, you mentioned your community as a whole, right?
Yeah.
So I do have another question that's very similar. Let's talk about, like, the feminist movement, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the feminist movement, right? Because, ladies and gentlemen, she does have an Ivy League degree, right? So we can get deep, right?
Let's talk about it.
So let's talk about the feminist movement right now, right? And let's talk about the space again, right? It is, we talked about you and your space in cannabis, right? But let's talk about women as a whole right now. What do you think the state of women entrepreneurs, women professionals?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that state.
That's a great question. And I didn't even really start to understand where women were in a landscape of entrepreneurship, investors, and everything until I got into entrepreneurship myself. And it's still really disparaging. You know, women are kind of like at the bottom of the toilet. We get, like, what's left after the good jobs are there, after these deals are done. It's like, okay, let's see what it feels like that, you know? And yeah, you're right. I studied the women's suffrage movement a lot. And people also got to remember, women, when we didn't have the right to vote, you know, just like the way black people were, there was a movement that had to happen to even garner that general right. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, perspective, almost use that same thing and look like how women have to sort of keep clawing back for just, you know, equal rights throughout everywhere.
Basic rights.
Basic rights, work pay rights.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets kind of skewed for women, because when you think about femininity and when you think about feminism, you're equating women to being docile, being domestic. And they're domestic, docile women you don't always see in these traditional, you know, big CEO corporate roles. So I feel like overall, you know, there's this picture, and when I say they or them, you know, the man or whatever the case is, you know, they don't understand how women are supposed to be feminine, docile, at home, building families, and still taking on these major businesses and doing all these things that, you know, men usually do.
It's so we're talking, like, about the duality.
The duality. They don't believe it exists.
Do they believe that it exists, but they don't want to say that they believe that it exists because they know how powerful it is.
They know how powerful. Listen, black women are the most educated group of people in the country.
I agree.
Empower us. And again, I have a whole nother, I know it's Women's History Month, but me and my friends were just talking about the black male identity too, and how there should be a sentence that follows that, just like the way the sentence follows black women, the most educated group of people in the country. So I think it's scary when you think about, if you empower women with the equal rights that men have, white women have specifically, for black women, it'll be right. It's a wrap. It's crazy.
So here's the next question, right? What do you think that us as black men, as corny dads, right?
Mm-hmm.
As black men can do to help push the woman, the woman's agenda, the feminist agenda, but specifically the black woman's agenda?
I think it's multi-tiered.
Let's get to it.
I didn't even know we was going to get into the...
Me neither.
Into the...
Me neither.
We're here because honestly, this is so important, because we're talking about cannabis, and we're also talking about how we were disproportionately marginalized, right?
Yes,
us being disproportionately marginalized, there is another tier, right? Which we never really get to the bottom of, which is how it really impacted black women, right?
Yes.
And now that you are a black woman in this space, it's important for us as black men, right? You are part of our community. How do we push you forward, right? How do we propel you to the next level?
So I think the first thing I feel like black men don't hear a lot is that we need black men to be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think black women, like, yeah, it's cool. We see each other in the room and it's like, hey, girl, hey, hair, this, nails. We connecting. We're business partners or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. We need black men in that space as well to see a black man in the room and be like, hey, oh, what you doing? Do you want to start a business? Or, you know what I mean? So I feel like, I think by nature, especially black women, we want to see our black men thrive. We like to see, for, and you think about feminism and movements and just traditional gender roles, like a head of a household, you know, just leading, but being there. I always use Barack and Michelle as like that example of what it means to support someone, but still stand on your own as a black woman. So number one, I think we need to see more black men just leading, you know, and showing us that, yeah, we're here too. And yeah, black women, we're going to get it, we're going to scrap, we're going to go hard, but that's going to be supported and met equally. The second one could be black men also understanding the leg up they may have in certain rooms, in certain positions, and using that to turn the spotlight on black women like the way you guys are doing now, and not just in the month of March. And the third thing is really listen to black women and what they say they got going on and try to internalize that and not just necessarily support, but action. You know, what sort of tangible things can you do if you come home and a black woman is like, damn, I can't get up right now. I can't do this. I, you know, I need a day. I got the kids or whatever. You guys are dads and not sure about your situations with your partners.
What
but
you need, queen?
All right. Exactly.
Tell me what you need.
Come on, man. Like, you already know. Just, you know. So those are, to me, some of the things that black men, I've seen them do and can still continue to do. But it just needs to be amplified now because there's an attack on black men. And while black women are sometimes being, like, thrust up, I don't think that we like to look back and see black men.
But that's, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
It it's a division,
right? It's a division.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly. So it's like, yo, we're allowed a woman in a space, but at the sacrifice of your man.
And that's what I'm saying. The first thing is just black men being there. So just no matter what, if I'm a black woman, I get invited to something, I'm gonna look around and see what black men can also be there. Because we just always, but we both have to move right now because it's being, like you said, divide and conquered for multiple reasons. So yeah, that's what men could definitely
So listen, so we just, she just gave us all the smoke.
All the smoke.
Listen,
11-11,
right? So what I definitely want to say to you is, this segment of our show was about giving our sisters, right, our women in the community, their flowers. We honor you. We thank you for the work that you're doing. Anything that we can do to help support and propel any one of the women that we interviewed throughout the series, we're here for you as brothers. We're here for you as men,
as
right?
Kingsmen,
as kingsmen to help support you. And again, thank you so much, Queen, for all that you do. Snuggy H, take us out.
For sure. Stay corny.
Me so corny.